This week marks the one-year anniversary of the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan following the U.S. military's withdrawal.
The U.S. and allied evacuation of Afghanistan is now flying out thousands of Americans, allied personnel, and Afghans every day.
Afghans, convinced the promise of a flight out was their only life ahead, clambering over walkways and tarmac the U.S. spent billions on to maintain its presence. And then this startling image, one of the U.S.'s largest cargo planes taxiing, laden with Afghans who did not want to be left behind.
Life has changed for most Afghans, including those who fled the country with their families through refugee resettlement programs. Washington State has been one of the top destinations for Afghan refugees after Texas and California. Here to discuss what that resettlement process looks like in our state 1 year later is Imram Siddiqui, the executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations Washington. That's CARE Washington. Imran, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So take us back to a year ago when resettlement and advocacy organizations like CARE were scrambling to help Afghans connect with evacuation flights. What did that work look like?
We, as a very prominent and high-profile Muslim American organization, we started getting calls regarding people who had connections to Washington State, who, you know, they were fearing for their lives and they were trying to get back to Washington State. And so our attorney at the time started helping, you know, in the limited ways that we could to try and get people aboard some of these evacuation flights. And it was just chaos. You know, we're hearing horror stories where people, you know, like families were being separated. You see what was happening on the news in terms of, you know, people like pushing their babies to the front of the queue so there was a chance that they could make it onto an evacuation flight. So it was just utter chaos, and, you know, the roads were being cut off, you know, where people weren't able to get to the airport in order to leave safely. So we were trying to provide as much help as we could from the standpoint of making the connections with congressional office and State Department officials to get some names onto these evacuation flights. So all in all, we were able to help about 9 to 10 people get back into the U.S. safely. And at that time, that really opened up a whole new discussion. Do we need to accelerate the launch of this aforementioned Immigrants' Rights Center to help these Afghans who are going to be coming here to Washington State? You know, we're in the nonprofit sphere, so everybody is under-resourced, everybody is over capacity. And so when this whole situation with the evacuation and the subsequent immigration resettlement issues came up, a lot of these organizations, you know, they needed time. They didn't have the legal resources to necessarily provide these services. So CARE Washington was in a position to expand our work into this area where we're going to be providing these immigration legal services to these individuals who are resettled in Washington from Afghanistan. So we've jumped in. We've hired 2 full-time immigration attorneys, some other immigration staff as well, and just trying to help our brothers and sisters, you know, from the Muslim community who are, you know, coming from Afghanistan, you know, be resettled over here.
And I want to talk about that immigration legal journey in just a second. But first off, I mean, we have over 2,000 Afghan evacuees who have been resettled in Washington State. For the folks who your group has worked with, whom CARE has worked with, what has the journey been like being resettled, and what are their lives in Washington State look like today?
Yeah, it's tough to really put into words what people have been through. I think a lot of times when we speak about refugees, they're only spoken of as a political football or in two-dimensional terms where you don't see them as true human beings, people who had ancestries and lives and families and professions that they've had for years and years and years. You know, through some of our work and through some of our community gatherings that we've been at, we've been able to come across, you know, many folks of Afghan descent who've been resettled over here. And they're very thankful, first of all, for all the organizations that are helping, that have lent a helping hand to them, that have helped them with the resettlement process, that have been welcoming to them coming over here. But it's also hard. I mean, they're living in like hotels, for example, which is, you know, that's good. It may sound cool to live in a hotel for a few days, you know, when you're on vacation, but when you don't have a place that you can call your own, where you can settle down and plant your roots, it's very difficult. Not having transportation, not having like these basic sort of necessities over time. So for them, they're still in this, you know, minor state of flux where they, I think they're really happy to be here, but they also want to be able to establish their roots in Washington State.
Is housing the number one need, permanent, stable housing that you hear from Afghan refugees in Washington State, or are there other immediate needs that they're also facing?
Yeah, I mean, housing is obviously a big deal. I mean, we live in a state where housing is an issue just to begin with. So we're well aware of that. But I think that's number one, where people need those roots where they can settle down, get their families situated. If they have children, get into the school systems and get their lives off the ground. There's organizations that have been helping with, you know, basic humanitarian supplies, groups like MAPS and many others locally that provide supplies, basic day-to-day stuff, and like little welcome kits for these folks as well. So those are important things. But really, like, I think in terms of the immigration legal services, that is one of the most important things. I think that because as soon as they get into the United States, they're on a ticking timeline. And, you know, everything that they've been told is that they basically have a year to get their status ironed out.
And let's talk about that, Imran. You know, we know about 76,000 Afghans entered the U.S. last year on humanitarian parole, which is really just a temporary immigration status that lasts about 2 years, typically. Now there are options in front of the U.S. Congress to make a pathway more viable for Afghan evacuees. But right now, what are they facing in terms of finding either permanent residency or citizenship in the U.S.?
Right now, we're trying to do the best that we can. I know that a lot of the folks who applied for humanitarian parole, they're not getting processed at the same level as like Ukrainians who are being approved for parole. So that's one of the issues that some of our immigration attorneys have pointed out as well. So there's been a lot of denials in terms of the humanitarian parole channel. So then what we're seeing is that applying for asylum for these families is going to be the sort of the key route that we're going down. So that's what our attorneys are doing in providing these legal services, trying to we're working with the refugee resettlement agencies to, you know, see who qualifies for these asylum cases and to start processing those as we go along. And I know many other organizations like Northwest Immigrants Rights Project and some others are doing some of these immigration legal services. From an advocacy perspective, there's the Afghan Adjustment Act, and I think that will help alleviate some of these concerns. That'll provide a long-term solution to many of these issues for these folks that have been evacuated from Afghanistan. Historically, there is precedent for these types of adjustment acts. They've taken place after the Vietnam War. They've taken place after, you know, the Cuban evacuation in the 1950s, after the Iraq War as well. So I think, you know, what many in the advocacy community are advocating for right now is to really, for Congress, both parties, to really push through this Afghan Adjustment Act so we can create a less stressful pathway for them to long-term residency here in the U.S.
That's the piece of bipartisan legislation, the Afghan Adjustment Act, that would establish a path to U.S. citizenship for Afghan evacuees and expand the number of Afghans who can apply for the special immigrant visas, which are offered to people who are affiliated with the United States. This bill is making its way through the House and Senate right now, but could face pushback from anti-immigration members of Congress. Imran Siddiqui with the Council on American Islamic Relations, Washington, CARE Washington. What else do you want folks to know about the work that you're doing to help Afghan evacuees and also the realities of these folks, our neighbors' lives here as they're trying to, you know, create roots and a stable life in Washington State?
What you'll find, you know, once you encounter, you know, these folks is that these are people who just want a normal life for their families. They just want to get their feet off the ground and establish roots here in the United States. And I mean, part of that is providing the services that, you know, we're providing, such as immigration legal services. But also, I think we have to, you know, really just make a concerted effort to make them feel welcome in our state. We've started the Welcome to Washington project, where, you know, we've taken out some billboards in South Seattle, Tukwila, taken out some ads on KCTS9, some Facebook and Instagram ads as well, just to, like, you know, they're translated into Dari and Pashto. And these are really to let the folks that have been resettled here know that they have rights. You know, that's the bread and butter of what Care Washington does for our community domestically. So, you know, same thing for folks that are coming from a place where they may have not had those good relationships with law enforcement, for example, or they don't know what their rights are when they're going to a doctor's office or when they're enrolling in school. So we want to make sure that that's easily laid out for them. Our hope is that, you know, this is one piece of the puzzle where, you know, our Afghan brothers and sisters can see that there are folks out here that care about them. They've been through the most tumultuous journey that one can be on, you know, coming thousands and thousands of miles, having this level of uncertainty. So having an organization here to, you know, make sure that they're looked after when it comes to some of these issues is super important.
Thank you, Imran Siddiqui, Executive Director of Council on American and Islamic Relations, Washington. Appreciate you being here to talk about this on the one-year anniversary of the Taliban takeover in Afghanistan and, of course, sparking a huge evacuation of the country as well. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And if you want to learn more about how you can help Afghan refugees in our region, you can visit Care Washington's website, cairwa.org.